Beast High.
Hello, podcast listeners.
It's Wildcat Minute, where we talk about High School Musical 3, senior year, 1 minute at a time. I'm Condra.
And I am Tyler.
And today we're talking about minute 73 of High School Musical 3, senior year. Minute 73 starts out with Troy reaching for a door and ends with...
You're reaching for a door. The door to take you to a new place. I don't know. Is that a thing?
It's got that vibe to it. I definitely felt like I said it weird. And ends with Mr. Bolton saying that he heard that Troy's been talking to other schools.
You've been talking to other schools? And we'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll get there. Condra, a couple things. One, it's been like 3 weeks since we've recorded, which doesn't happen very often.
No. It happens every time I go to Disney, so twice a year.
And then I switched my Audacity to dark mode.
So now you're cool.
So that as we're recording, instead of seeing blue speech bubbles pop up while I'm recording on a gray background, I have a dark gray, almost black background with orange waves. I don't know why I said sound waves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's really changing my perspective on my mindset here while we record. Two different colors to consider.
Yeah. I was thinking when you were like, ooh, dark mode. I have everything on dark mode. I love dark mode. Dark mode is my life. But I agree. It confuses people at work. Because I'll be demoing how to, like, access Libby, which, if you don't have a library card, pause our podcast, go to your local public library, get a library card, then come back and join us again.
Well, okay, if you're listening to this podcast, but the library's not currently open, then you don't have to leave and listen. And you can actually go into the library listening to the podcast on headphones,
yes,
please.
Yes, of course.
Because we want to be respectful of the quiet in the library. But you could do all that while listening to the podcast, too.
I guess. Or check out their website to see if you can register for a library card online.
Within the last week, I got a Canopy account.
Nice! I like Canopy a lot. I have one through
my
school
local library.
I have one through my school library account that I work at. I don't teach, but sometimes it feels like I'm teaching as a librarian there. But that's exciting. Anyways. I will be showing people. The only thing I'm going to say with your Canopy stuff, though, is I don't want everyone to get like the expectation that their library is going to offer Canopy, because Canopy is obnoxiously expensive. Like, you thought ebook, like the big five trying to sell ebooks to a library was bad. Oh boy, Canopy.
Okay. The positive I will say about Canopy is that they have, I think, all of the Frederick Wiseman documentaries.
Mm.
And he's a, I guess, avant-garde documentary filmmaker. He's kind of a little bit of a rebel. And he's very interested in the public institutions. So some of his documentaries are just footage from hospitals or town halls. One of his most famous ones is in a mental institution. And controversial in the way that he just very plainly depicts the institutions that make up our societies. So Frederick Wiseman, go check him out. Anyway,
that's cool.
Back to the show.
No more talks about library cards. Oh, no, wait. I was saying, so I'm demoing how to use Libby. And I have my Libby in dark mode and they'll be trying to do it on their phone. And they're like, why does it look different? I'm like, my phone's in dark mode. Bright lights annoy me.
I can one up you, Condra.
Yeah.
I, as a teacher, project, I AirPlay onto the board.
Yes.
Everything that we do.
Yep.
I have Microsoft Word in dark mode.
Yo, I do too, though.
So that when
but
I project
when you're projecting
a
it.
Piece of paper up onto the board, and everyone's like, why is it dark gray? Because I have it in dark mode.
And you're like, protect your eyes, dark mode everything.
It's definitely not harder to read. And like when you turn off the lights, it's not like so bright, the white on the screen. Like, yeah, it actually is better, so.
Yeah. Anyways, High School Musical 3 senior year. Mr. Bolton is shooting some hoops in the backyard in the dark, basically.
Yeah, so if you had in your predictions from last time that Troy was looking out the window
at his father
into his backyard and saw his dad, that probably would have been a reasonable answer.
Yeah.
But nobody guessed it. And by nobody, I mean neither of us did, and nobody emailed us.
Well, I wouldn't have been able to guess it because I knew, kind of.
And to be fair, we're recording this on the day that the podcast where people would have been prompted to guess came out. So if they didn't answer within the last 14 hours, but perhaps they did answer us in the interim between when this comes out and when this was recorded.
Yeah.
It's my dad in the backyard and he's playing basketball, my favorite game.
Is it Troy's favorite game? I feel like this scene kind of opens up what Troy's been feeling. He finally faces his father with some of his feelings. But first, talk about Gabriella.
I mean, it might still be his favorite game, but is it his favorite thing? Is it the most important thing that he's going to dedicate his life to? I don't know. Anyway. Yeah, so he goes out there and he sees his dad and they're like, it's late, which is one of those small talk things that people say.
Yeah.
It's fine. They're just announcing the time. It's better than announcing the weather, I think. I think announcing the weather, definitely bad. Announcing the time of day, great.
Unless you're Karen at the end of Mean Girls, in which case it's 30% already raining.
And she can feel it in her you-know-where.
Exactly.
Well, if they're going to point out it's late, they're specifically not pointing out, oh, we should be quiet because playing basketball in the backyard is a loud activity that the neighbors might not enjoy hearing.
Indeed. Although I feel like at this point they're like, oh, there's those Bolton boys again.
Yeah, I feel like Troy and Chad have been much louder in an evening of playing basketball.
Absolutely. So Mr. Bolton.
And maybe they have such a big backyard that no one's nearby for yards and yards and yards.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Mrs. Bolton,
real estate mogul tycoon. And lawyer.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Maybe she set it up so that they got it good.
Yeah. They've got a perfect sonic cone where the sound doesn't travel.
Exactly. So Mr. Bolton's like, have you heard from Gabriella? So presumably our confusion over Gabriella getting in a car and driving away was her going to Stanford. Like, she did make that decision.
Yes. Which means that it is the week of the show. We talked about this in the last episode. Like, the timing was not very well executed.
No.
There was also the thing about Gabriella's house being sold, which was just tucked in there that we have no idea how to interpret.
Nope.
So, and like, how long has she been gone? Like, honestly,
it was supposed to be just a week, like a week orientation. They said that earlier in the movie. So she'll be back for prom, which is next week, probably then.
In a few days, who knows?
But Mr. Bolton asks Troy very kindly, and Troy's like, yeah, I've heard from her. She's up to her knees in geniuses.
Knee deep in geniuses is the exact phrase, but yes, same meaning.
Which, what the heck does that mean? Has she slaughtered geniuses?
Yes, she has slain the geniuses and taken her throne as the Highlander of Stanford.
Yeah, I was like, what is that supposed to mean?
There can only be one. This is the thing with the Stanford Honors Program, is it's actually a battle royale situation.
And Gabrielle is killing it, literally.
And so this is sort of the reverse, because in a lot of higher educational programs, they have sort of these cutthroat programs, for lack of a better word,
like testing.
That make that make students from less privileged backgrounds compete with each other to earn limited slots at institutions of higher learning. And this is the retribution on the other end of things. Like, we get all these smart geniuses in the room and then we literally make them fight each other. That would be good. That would make a good, like,
dystopia novel.
Like, I'm thinking more of like a hyper-violent modern set, like corporate satire.
Mm.
Like, if Sorry to Bother You involved the people killing each other to kinda get like stuff.
The Monty Python battle, that where like the two businesses, like the two corporations that wage war, like battle as if they were on ships.
I'm thinking something with the tone of The Menu with Anya Taylor-Joy and Ralph Fiennes, but it's about like a college admissions program.
Okay.
Where it's like, we got to take these rich people down a peg, like Knives Out.
Like Knives Out, yeah.
Yeah. I think actually that does feel a little bit like unplowed fertile ground. I don't know what the expression
there's
is.
There's not a lot like... there's a lot of poking at like the ultra rich and such, but like colleges and academia, I feel like, is an untapped market.
Yeah, except in Saltburn.
I'm thinking there's a few books that I've read. Ace of Spades definitely explores that, the corrupt academic setting, but.
Speaking of corrupt things at academic settings, apparently the food's bad at Stanford.
Yeah, East High has better food.
Like my segue?
Yeah, that was great.
Thank you. Which, you know, that happens sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
It's honestly not even a quality thing. It's just what you're used to.
Yeah. I mean, if she's not getting her chili cheese fries...
It's like how everyone's favorite Chinese food restaurant is the one that they grew up going to.
Yeah, definitely. It's just like funny that that's the point that he's gonna raise to his father. Like, he's like, yeah, she's surrounded by smart people and apparently the food's not very good, like, ha ha ha. Isn't my girlfriend witty? And then
they only value math, they don't value paying people to cook them delicious meals.
Yeah. I sometimes do miss, like, my college was decent with its dining hall. And, like, there are times that I'm like, yeah, I miss this particular dish they made, or I miss the sandwich bar. Like, it wasn't all amazing all the time, but, like, for the most part, I felt like it was pretty good.
Yeah, I liked my college's food in the sense that I liked having dining halls.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't miss it. I can't remember any meal that I miss.
That's fair. I don't know too if it was just in a time before when I could eat whatever and like that was part of it for me. Like,
I can't. I'm craving eat a time when now. I could just walk into a space
and eat
and eat whatever I may desire.
Yeah. But good news, everyone. Gabriella will be back in time for prom.
Thank goodness, because we hadn't already established that that was what the plot of the movie was leading us to.
Yeah, like they just have to keep reinforcing Gabriella's going to be at prom. So as...
I guess what you're doing is you're doing like a punch setup so that you can do the uppercut of actually she's not coming to prom. Like, we've been saying she's coming, and then oops, actually I gotta stay and I've gotta miss prom. But it doesn't seem like Gabriella would do that.
Yeah, it's just weird that they keep reinforcing it like they're going to do that.
But honestly, I didn't read it that way until I mentioned it here. It's like, oh, the smart thing would be to set it up so that it was a surprise when it didn't happen. But I don't expect that sort of thing from these movies. Like, oh, they're just gonna set it up so that, you know, we take everything at face value with these movies.
Yeah, it's a no longer made for TV movie.
Is that like the not quite ready for primetime players?
I guess. Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
I love a qualifier.
And then Mr. Bolton asks about the big show, which he actually sounds kind of earnest. Like, he wants to know how it's going.
It's complicated. It is. Troy is taking these basketball shots, and he makes the first two, and then he misses the third one. And that's Mr. Bolton's sign to go, okay, time to pause. Yeah. Let's talk about the real stuff now. You're hot, you're hot. But once you miss a shot, you're done.
His mind is clearly somewhere else if he can't make three shots in a row.
He can't make, two out of three, a 66% shooting from the floor.
Rubbish.
Rubbish is such a great word. Very British of you.
Yeah.
Speaking of British, if you want to watch British TV, get Canopy.
Wow. Way to keep plugging libraries.
That was a callback.
So he asks how the big show's going. And it's like almost at first you're like, yeah, Mr. Bolton is genuine here and actually wants to know how his son's the other part. Like, he's being supportive. Mr. Bolton's not great at Troy's interest in musical theater and like his time with Miss Darbus. But he's not anti it anymore. He is accepting that his son does enjoy musical theater and is asking in a kind, neutral manner how it's going. And Troy is like, no, you don't actually want to hear. Stop being false. Which I'm like, you're not giving your dad enough credit, I think, right now.
I don't remember him shutting him down like that.
He's like, you don't even want to know.
Oh, I took that as play humility, like, not play as in theater, but play as in putting on an act of, right, like, is this small talk? I don't really, like, there's way too much to go into with the play. Like, if I started talking about it, it would be so much, like, don't even make me go there.
There was no exasperation in his voice. It was very short, which is where I was like, okay, he's shutting it down as opposed to, like, because, yeah, I totally, you don't even want to know. Like, there's an inflection that you do that conveys that, but this just didn't have that.
They're having a subdued father to son conversation. He doesn't have to, like, put on the big voice. I don't know. It's not really, like, a pivotal moment of dialogue. They're not like, in a fight right now.
It's not, like, the locker room scene from the first movie or anything.
Did you notice that they actually do have kind of frosty breath? Like, when they breathe, there's, like...
Yeah, I did notice that. I actually made a note of, like, seeing breath. How cold is it out here right now?
In New Mexico? I guess they're actually in Utah, but...
But it's also New Mexico at night in May, so maybe it does get a little cool?
Yeah, I mean, it can get cool anywhere.
Yeah.
The coolest place of them all, Utah.
New Mexico. And so Mr. Bolton is like, well, fine, you're not going to play nice. I'm going to whip the ball at you. Like, he tosses it at him pretty hard for being as close as they are. And Troy's a little taken aback by it, too.
I got really mixed messages from this scene because we've come to a point where it's not Mike Bolton being like an overbearing father who like just wants his kid to live a certain way and can't accept anything else. Like, we got over that hurdle in the first movie, and now he's like on the college thing, and I guess he's being a little overbearing with that stuff, but it seems immature. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's really like a weird, I don't know, it's like he's trying to be helpful, but at the same time, he's still putting his opinion on things and is like, I don't actually care that much, or you're not doing the thing I wanted. So that's where I, like, my opinion is not being taken with enough import. I don't know. It's like Mr. Bolton is trying to seem genuine, but is confused.
Yeah, so Mike Bolton starts out the conversation with maybe not the best conversation starter, which is like, when were you going to tell me about this Juilliard thing? Which can be a statement that you say in excitement or like resentment.
Yeah.
And I didn't take it. Either way, I just kind of took it right down the middle. Like, hey, I found this thing. Kind of like when Troy asked Gabriella about the Stanford thing. It was like, hey, like, why didn't I hear this from you originally? Like, I would have wanted to know so that I could have supported you through it.
Yeah. But I do think Mr. Bolton is a little more defensive, a little more hurt than Troy was. Like, he's like, because he like unrolls it and like shows it to him like it's a little accusatory.
Well, even the next part of it was he like Troy says there's nothing to tell, and Mike says, well, maybe there is. And I found even the maybe there is line like encouraging, like, don't he, like he was saying, Troy, you don't have to automatically shut this down as a non-starter. Like, what if this is something that you wanted to do? Why not it go down that road?
But I'm not but reading then Mr. it turns Bolton. Around. Yeah, I'm not reading Mr. Bolton as like, oh, why aren't you pursuing this? Like, you like music. Like, if it was Mrs. Bolton, I feel like we would get that more open-mindedness. But Mr. Bolton's only view of Troy is U of A basketball boy.
Yeah. And then he says that, like, you've been talking to other schools, which kind of solidifies the like, oh, so he's just looking at the like loyalty to the one school program.
Yeah.
And I guess we have to go back and think about like, okay, Troy has like a handshake deal right now with the U of A people.
Yeah.
But he hasn't signed anything.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that a college recruiter
needs a little more to like really cement it in. Like, yeah, he's been to a practice, but like,
and knows that the deal's not done until it's done.
Yeah. Yeah. Recruiters like experience that kind of stuff all the time. It depends on the financial aid packet. Like, they know there's more in it than just, am I playing sport at this school?
And a recruiter is the type of person who's going to go, and you're coming to join us next year, right? And the student goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's, everything sounds great. And then with the knowledge that like, yeah, but they're also checking out these other places, like, if you make a presumptuous statement like that, like where the only answer is yes, because if you say no, you sound like a jerk.
Yeah.
Then, right, you're like setting, and it's a salesman technique, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
All right, like, can't wait to see you tomorrow to sell you this car. Like, you plant the idea in someone's head. So even a handshake deal like that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Yeah. And there's more of this conversation in the next minute, so I don't know how much further we want to discuss this.
Yeah, I just wanted to set up the ground rules of like, okay, is Troy like going back on his word at all with this?
I don't think so, because even earlier in the movie, Chad was the one that was initiating a lot of the interaction with the recruiter. So we don't really know how much Troy has, other than his like stuff over the summer.
Yeah, it's almost like Troy has gone on like 5 dates with someone, but hasn't made it anything official. And then someone else sent him a like on a dating app. And it's like, you were going to tell me that someone else was interested in you? It's like, well, because I'm not thinking about that, or maybe I am. And even if it is, it's none of your business because we aren't official. Like,
yeah,
it's a weird line.
It is. It's really funny to think of it in dating terms.
Well, because Mike Bolton says you're talking to other
schools. Yeah. Yeah, that is fair.
That's why I thought of it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense. Well,
texting ain't cheating, folks. No, I'm just kidding. Define the parameters of your relationship and just be honest, please.
Yes. Communication is key.
Communication is the skeleton key. Ooh.
Spooky, scary.
It opens all the doors.
Well, until next time, you can find us on Instagram at Amateur Nerds.
On Tumblr at Wildcat Minute.
You can send us an email to amateurnerdspresent@gmail.com.
Yeah, let us know what your favorite type of key is. Major? Minor? Skeleton?
Off? Special thanks to our artist, Theo Golden, at tgoldenart on Instagram.
And our musician, Joe Winslow, whom you can find at joewinslowmusic.com.
I have been Condra.
And I've been Tyler. We'll see you next time to find out if Troy's going to make another shot. And if he makes it or not, you can bet on it.
I really like the concept of shandhakes.